What we did eventually, after we tried to figure out what is the ministry of the people of God and all that business, which took a long time, we decided we would go to a number of congregations and try to explore with them what their self-understanding was of the ministry of the people of God. Not go to them with a definition and say, what are you doing about this? But go to them and try to discover, through conversation with the laity, as well as the pastor, but mostly with the laity, women and men, what that meant in that given place.
And we eventually were in contact
with 29 from them. Is this right? Is this really what you were saying? Is this what you meant to say and as you heard it? We did a report at the end of that period, and I'm going to put some stuff on the board in a moment. It'll show you really the essence of what we were discovering. That said, what we discovered during that time, and said, therefore, we don't want to be a commission anymore. And they were very upset about that, because commissions are not supposed to stop. They're supposed to last forever. And told them they just had to deal with our report, or they wouldn't get any benefit out of whatever they had invested in time and in money during the past 2 years. And, of course, they didn't deal with the report. What we discovered is that all of the 29 congregations, by their own definition of what it meant to deal with the ministry of people of God, did not take the laity seriously. Did somebody fall?
Well,
pardon?
Anna.
Oh, was it? Dear me.
Thanks.
You're okay, huh?
Yeah.
So, when they said, yes, that's what we define the ministry of the people of God to be about, and then they were saying, no, we don't do anything about that. We're not doing anything about that. It wasn't that they said, we don't want to or anything else, but they said that's what's really true. It took a long time to get to that kind of honesty, by the way. You know, for the first, like with the clergy, for the first 3-4 months, they frankly just gave you bullshit.
Would they say, we would like to do those things?
Some, not all. And others, they would tell you about how marvelous the congregation was going, except the clergy spouse. They would tell you maybe more honestly about what was going on. But that, I mean, I didn't probe and say, you know, what's here. That it just was what happened in conversation. After they discovered that our commission had nothing to do with the bishop or no clout anywhere, then they began to be more honest about it. For instance, the clergy would almost normally say, yes, I know the members of my parish. And after a while, that was found to be clearly not true. They did not know their members well at all. A few members that they had served in crises, they knew in terms of the crises. And if you asked them about other parts of those members' life, they certainly normally did not know much about that. Example, and by the way, these were not all we purposed. The commission instructed me not to find congregations where we would find antagonism, where it would be a priori, nobody wants to talk about anything. So these were, in quotes, better congregations, you know, whatever that means. There was some openness there to deal, even with an outsider to come in. Like one of the, quote, good guys told me once to talk to one of his members. And ask him, he said he's interested in lay things. And well, I said, okay, because I trusted this pastor, but he wouldn't give me a bum steer. And I said, well, what does he do? I said, no, he works for some printing company downtown. And I said, fine, he got a phone number, and he didn't have one, but he got one for me, and I called the fellow, and I arranged to have lunch with him. He worked with SRA. What's that? Science Research Associates Publishers, and had just finished editing a new series of books to be used in public schools throughout the nation for reading levels.
This was a pastor?
No, the layman. And he had chosen almost everything that had gone into those books that were going to be used for, I suppose, they figured a year, a period of 10 years. And when I asked the pastor what he did, he says, I don't know, he works for some printing company downtown. And this guy was so excited about what he did, I could not get away. I was there till 3 o'clock, we had lunch at 1, and I was there at 3, and it could have gone till 5. He was so excited about what he was doing, and the impact he was having, and the places he had been. He was telling stories about being on buses and in hovels and in administrative, do one story after another, which is exciting. That was a good pastor. He's one of the guys I'd choose for me by pastor, I think. He's really an excellent guy, but that was the level where it was. He just didn't take that guy seriously for whatever reason, not maliciously, he just didn't. And that was true of all the congregations that we worked with. For instance, at one period of time, we discovered that as an effort to go somewhere with what we were doing, rather than just sit there listening, we asked each of the pastors to choose a member of the congregation and meet with that member at mutually convenient time with no agenda. In effect, we were saying, what it would be like if you, as two human beings, sat down and talked? There were 29 congregations, and there were more pastors than that. But as I recall, 19 pastors agreed to do it. And most of those even mentioned to me the person that they would meet with. Oh, well, sure, I'll do da-da-da. In each instance that they mentioned a name, it was male. I had never said a man. Each one had mentioned a man. And in no instance did anyone do it. Mm-mm. And the commission wouldn't believe it. They thought I was lying to them. Really did. I thought I was lying to them. It was terrible. That would happen. Later on, we found out what we were asking them to do was to initiate the possibility of a friendship. Really. And most of the pastors of those congregations, and there was no woman assistant. The United Church of Christ had an assistant pastor who was a woman at that time. This was 15 years ago. None of these congregations had a woman pastor. Most of those pastors did not have friends. Again, we found out after a while. Two of those pastors referred to their wives as friends. And we talked about their families every once in a while, but only two had used that. Had no friends, right.
Within the congregation?
That's no place. Not within the clergy, not within the congregation, not outside of the congregation. And when I would report on this to other groups of clergy and other people, pastors would come up afterwards, talk to me privately and say, that's me. No, I found no denial when I would report on this to other people. And when I did it a couple times, I tricked a Rotary Club once to talk about something like this. And when I talked about it, I just made this part of it a report to them and talked about male friendships. They, if it's in, I hope it's what Gray is saying, the people of the Rotary Club came up afterwards and said, that's me, I have no friends. What we discovered then, what we were doing was asking them to do the impossible, you know, to say, I don't know how to be a friend, I don't have a friend, now go be a friend. You know, that just wasn't going to work that way. A number of other sidelights I want, but let me tell you what we discovered. Happy Monday. So it's Tuesday. What the congregations said, the ministry of the people of God was, how they defined it. Again, not by asking them, what is it? But listening to them describe what it was about, what they were about, and how they talked about it. And then saying, is this really what you were saying down the line? Okay. The first was things to do at church. Like worship, meetings, study, maintenance, whatever, taking care of the place, building programs, whatever it may be, things to do at church. That was the ministry of the people of God, is to do things at church. The second dimension was get others to do things at church. They often used the word evangelism about that, but what it was about was to get people to do things at church, like come to church services, sing in a choir, be committed, be a member of a committee, contribute to a building program, come and work at the building, or whatever else. The third was to do the best you can in your job. And that may be, was in terms of being a parent, or a spouse, or a plumber, or a banker, or whatever else it was, to do the best you could because you were a Christian. And that may sound pretty good on the surface, but what it was mostly related to was a sense of perfectionism as well, and a work ethic that had a lot to go for too. But that was seen to be a part of the ministry of the people of God. The fourth dimension was, of the ministry of the people of God, was to help or respond, whatever the word may be, to others in need. And that was largely done through agencies that were around, that you would support the agencies, or you would bring canned goods at Thanksgiving, or you would participate in getting food out at Christmas. Not much more than that, but it could have been given to Lutheran World Relief, because most of these were Lutheran congregations and all of this kind, but responding to that. And the last dimension of it was sharing with others what any and all of that, meaning all this stuff back here, meant in terms of relationship to Jesus Christ. So that's what we discovered people meant by the ministry of the people of God. Now, I didn't keep any, there's any facts to back up what I'm going to tell you now, but I think it's quite accurate for what happened. The people, 80% of the people, thought this was the ministry of the people of God. In other words, they didn't see that as the people of God. Most of them, at least, but comfortably, 80%. 10% felt this was the ministry of the people of God. 5% felt this was, and as you can guess, 3 and 2. So 90% of people felt the ministry of the people of God was exclusively related to the church building the program and getting people to doing it themselves. It might look too like people were saying, or that we were saying, or that I am saying, that that was the peak over there. They ought to be working up toward that. I don't have to believe that at all. I think this is a terribly important part of the people, ministry of the people of God. The tragic thing for me is that it's 80% of what it's all about. I don't know where you'd put the 80%. I probably wouldn't put it into something closer to shalom here, or that these two together might be a shalom vision that would inform the rest. I don't know. But this is, that's what we found. And that's what we, as I said, shared with the people who in the congregations that we worked with. Again, not all of them. Some of them lost interest as long as they saw that it was going to be a serious question about what they were doing. But most of them had time to respond to it. And as I said to Linda before, some then tried to do something about it, and others did not. I, as usual with research, I wrote a book about it, so that was my response. Reread some of that in the last few days, and I still like some of the things I said then, because I was calling for things that I think we still would need. What it highlighted, of course, was the great, and I'm mentioning all these things. I want to get back strictly to Ministry of the Lady and what it's about, but these are related things that I think affected, and I would hope we wouldn't end up only talking about these sidelights that I'm mentioning. For instance, the lack of trust between clergy and laity was just immense, just immense. The crassest form of it, I could take you to the place and to the person who said this to me, was when I said, well, it just sounds like you don't trust any of your members. And his immediate response was, no thought in between. The immediate response is, I wouldn't trust one of those sons of bitches for anything. He'd been burned a couple of times, obviously, and that was it. Now, that was, that's way at one end. That's not, I'm not saying that was normal by any, but way back from that was just great distance of distrust. That's why, after a period of time, as I said, first couple, two, 3 months, the pastor would be saying all kinds of nice things, or carefully not saying things to you. After a while, they would say, no, I don't know. One pastor, again, a good guy, who happens to be a friend of mine, told me as we sat at his desk, he says, yeah, I sit here all week waiting for a crisis to happen. And if there's no crisis, Sunday morning's the crisis. And I asked him, well, after a crisis, does that lead to any ongoing connection with these people so that you might be with them in their celebrations, or in their possibilities? He says, I'd be lying if I told you yes.
Were these Lutheran men?
Not all, as I said. No, not all the congregations were Lutheran. I think there were two Presbyterian, one United Church. One pastor was black. As I said, none were
Your
women.
Your friend was Lutheran?
Pardon?
This friend?
Yes, the friend was Lutheran.
Are they all Missouri Synod?
No. I would say maybe half of the 29 were. But then it would be half of, what did I say, 4 non-Missouri, so half 25, about 12 Missouri. But again, nobody else maybe cares about this, but since it was in the English district of the Missouri Synod, and we tried to pick the good guys within that, they were probably as far from Missouri as you could get and still be in Missouri. But there were ALC and LCA congregations as well. Let's see, there's another aspect. It was clear to me, and I think to our commission, that the clergy did not know the laity. It was clear to me that the laity knew that the clergy did not know the laity and liked it. Mm-hmm. It was clear to me that the laity knew that the clergy didn't know them, and they liked it.
But they didn't.
Yes. Again, because if it got to the possibility of relationship, then something might happen. And on the fear side would be he might ask me. He might ask me what I do or what I don't do or whatever else. And or it might get serious. on that side. Or I suppose there was a fear also that I might get hooked into the congregation. There was a lot of fear of further involvement, even by the people who were involved. You know, I'd be meeting with a board, and they had enough. They didn't want too much more on this, so they didn't want more of that. But I think also because the unwanted intimacy of the faith.
Does this jive with your own experience in the parish?
No.
How do you feel about
it? It doesn't remain with me either. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of people I didn't know. I mean, 600 adult members in the congregation.
Well, you have to be there a long time.
But you know, certainly my best friends were within the church. Mm-hmm.
I had a small parish. I had a parish I started from scratch. I had a parish in a small town. But didn't ring true with mine at all.
It's true. Congregations where I was a member at different times over the year. Quite true. Or if I think of my parents' relationship to the church, and they're very active.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the same.
It makes me so upset. I don't know, it just seems like it explains so much. I just can't understand how things... I wonder why other people don't feel... It seems like the communion within the church, the talking with the minister... I don't know if I'm putting too much on the minister, as if this minister has mm-hmm. to be the end-all, you know, and the... communicator, the leader, mm-hmm. great. And I understand that's not true. But when the person who's preaching every Sunday doesn't have some sort of context with the people that mm-hmm. they're preaching to, and when you say that this is something that they were, the ministers you were talking to said, yes, that's right, I know.
Oh.
Or
Not all, of course, as I said, some dodge, but the ones that we had a chance to be with and talk about this at length over a period of months again mm-hmm. said, yeah. And assumed everybody else was the same, by the way. You know, didn't feel they were different.
I just don't understand how that can... It's just so upsetting.
Yeah.
I mean...
You're right.
You should try clergy cluster meetings.
Yeah.
Meaning what else?
The pastors get together once a month. Yeah. And certainly...
Why be a minister if you're not... I don't...
Because your father was one. I don't know.
Well, I think there's a lot of help. You know, see, the poor fellow, they responded to crises.
Yeah.
See, you're a fireman.
Yeah.
You're a nurse. You're a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, people are lying like this, and you're like that.
Uh-huh. No
see the, mm-hmm. Well, could be, you know, well, I don't judge all of it, but this is a very attractive position, you know. They're looking up into heaven, and you're helping them see as you sit here. But the possibility of this, you know, or of this both being down and sharing was not part of it. That's a very satisfying. And then, of course, if you like to be up front and speak and preach, you got all of that. If you like to dress up on Sunday, you got that. There's a lot of give and take. But again, it dodges. It's like, why? Again, to ignore the clergyman. Why, for God's sake, do this for 90% of your commitment? No? Intelligent people. The fellow who was designed to be the CEO, chief executive officer of Illinois Central Industries, multi-billion-dollar stuff, was one of the guys I interviewed. I've told this story before. I don't know if I told you where I told him, where I asked, he was telling me, sitting at lunch, telling me about what his company was doing for their people, and it was really great stuff. And I was excited about it too, and I asked him what this had to do with God, and he gave a marvelous statement of what it had to do with God for him. But at the church, he dealt only with that stuff. He never talked about this, he never talked about that. By the way, when I asked him what did all of that stuff he was doing have to do with local congregation, well, he said, nothing, of course. And that frustrated me. I didn't mean it should come from there, or be tied to there, or be dependent on there, but I thought there ought to be some connection to the other people of God. With unusual experiences, you have to share. I went to a text study last Thursday in Renton, and it was anything but that. It was marvelous. Good contact, warm, open. They got a discussion, it's for next Sunday's text, so they helped me get ready too. And the text talks about being imitators of God. And they got to the point of saying, if somebody said to you, I want to be an imitator of you, what would you say they should imitate? And they opened themselves up and talked about a heck of a lot of stuff that they didn't want imitated, and some finally that they did. So it was quite different when it was such an exciting experience, because it was Charlie Mays.
In the groups that I've been a part of where they meet every week, it's a different kind of commitment.
Yeah.
And so there is a commitment to the group, and those, they really are some neat friendships. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a commitment to it, you just can't do it every single week.
Yes.
But the ones that meet once a month.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You know, and everybody's expected to be there. Obviously, there are some good clergy clusters in the world. But what you were saying about people not really being mm-hmm. friends with each other, mm-hmm. in a lot of cases was true. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yes.
I just say, my father's a minister, and I know he has a lot of people in the congregation that he knows a lot about them.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say he has any friends in the congregation. And that is kind of sad.
Yeah.
But it is really true. He just doesn't have friends in the congregation. I don't know if it's he's afraid to let people get to know him, or people are afraid to mm-hmm. let him know them.
Lutherans early on, I don't know about now, were taught in pastoral theology not to have friends in the congregation.
Yeah, he did tell me that once. Yeah. Well, to the seminary, but they weren't supposed to be
favoritism, cliques, whatever, you know, all kinds of stuff. My answer always is, you know, when I'm in trouble, I look for a friend. I don't go to some outside person, the Disney, even the doctor I go to. I hope I have an ongoing relationship with the person that I feel closer to her or him while we're dealing with this crisis, whatever it is. It's just the opposite of what my personal reaction is to seeking help in time of need. Or if something really went well, I want my friends to know about it first. You know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Did you find any difference in the age level? Because this is the way my father was. At the past, they were put on such a pedestal.
Yeah.
You know, everybody sort of bowed to them. And we're guilty for letting that happen, I think. And he and his wife, I mean, this is my father-in-law and mother-in-law, talked about they couldn't have friends because people were critical. You know, were too chummy with them. And so they remained sort of...
Nope.
They knew people and were entertained, but not people.
Sure.
But I want to think this is changing. You know, I've always called our pastors at home, and lots of people do now on a first-name basis.
Sure. I especially watched the ones.
Is there a
no? I saw none at that time. Now, you know, this is, as I said, the actual start of the study was 15 years ago. So it's, it surely, I hope, is changing. But I especially watched to those pastors whom I knew were on a first name basis in the parish. And I did not see any difference. Ed and Phil and what some of the other names were, that didn't make any difference. And the younger ones surely didn't. No, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I had friends in the parish, but they weren't that many.
Mm-hmm.
They were, you know, as those people, I knew their lives, I knew their job, to talk about their work.
Yeah.
And what frustrated me was the majority of people you'd only meet on committees.
Yeah.
You do all the church work, and then I just remember standing at the church alone after they all went home, saying, I don't know much about these people at all. All we do is work on church. And that then was a frustration, because the energy of, and I think also the threat, I think so many lay people are involved in so much ambiguity in their work
mm-hmm.
that they'd rather not have the pastor know about
yeah. Yeah, I think that's a threat that I didn't mention before.
I know one in Albuquerque, the chairman of the evangelism committee, we spent hours together working on church work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's no breakthrough. And then I remember one after committee once, I just asked him, what do you do at work? And I just said, we've known each other for months, and then the tension really mounted then because he designed the beginning work for the laser weapon systems of the Star Wars warfare. And I started to ask some questions about it. Could just feel the tension
growing up.
And I moved to Holden. I mean, it wasn't a broken, but it would have been a lot. It would have been a lot to work through. You know?
Mm-hmm, sure. I think that my next comment is substantiated by his statement, and I never made this connection before. My contention with those pastors after we got towards the end of this was, if they developed one friendship anywhere, their total ministry would be changed. Their preaching would be different. Their teaching would be better. I mean, one friendship, well, anywhere, but especially with a layperson. When the ones who were afraid, I said, you know, here are the places you can go to meet people. You know, if you want to go to another parish or go somewhere and do it. But at least have someone where you have gone further than that. And if you did that in your parish, I think that improved your preaching, and I happen to think your preaching is very good.
In Albuquerque, two lay people who were friends that worked on bombs, nuclear delivery systems.
Sure.
And they're the ones that shared their guilt,
mm-hmm.
and shared their sense of doubt about what they were doing. But I mean, it was so few that the majority of the lay people were exactly my relation to them.
All over here.
Right.
Right. The second part of my response to that, though, is that some pastors have made a conscious effort, even of large congregations, to move into where they are, rather again than expecting them to come always over here. Dean Luking in Grace Lutheran Church in River Forest, a huge parish, meets, I think, once a week in the Loop for breakfast. Now, he doesn't get the word home, but at least he moves into their territory, where it's possible and almost essential to talk about what they're doing rather than that cathedral he has out in River Forest. And there are others who have, you know, so when this guy said, you know, I don't think he had ever gone downtown to have lunch with this guy or breakfast or whatever it is with this guy at SRA. I think he'd have, you know, when Hank, Hank would have influenced that guy in amazing ways, to his good and to his own satisfaction, had that happened. But again, I don't want to say everyone that the pastor or pastors could be friends, but that the model is there, that friendship is part of what this whole business is about, that's the model. The book I wrote has a chapter on friendship as a model for pastor relationship, and that's the thing that most people got mad about. And then people don't see that model of some form of intimacy for what the parish is about. And on the one hand, if it's male to male anyway, some today they're more afraid of same-sex relationships, and if it's an ordained woman, they're even more scared, or their wives or spouses are more scared of the opposite-sex relationship. So I mean, there's some other side light, but that was not involved in what I was doing. I would like to ask you to, we have half hour yet, huh?
Yeah.
To take 15 minutes and get in a small groups, I suppose three each if you would, and just, I got three things on my mind that I'd like you to tackle. What is the ministry of the people of God? How do you see that? How would you say that? Secondly, who does what, where, and why? In that ministry, whatever you say about it, who does what, where, and why? And thirdly, what do you see as the role of the church and its clergy in the ministry of the people of God. Sure. What is the ministry of God? How would you say it? How would you describe the ministry of the people of God? Secondly, who does what, where, and why? That ministry, if ministry is assumed to be doing, if you want to say being or whatever it is, who bees what, where, and why, I don't care. However you define it. And then the third was, what is the role of the church? And by that I mean the institutional church, including the local congregation, and its clergy in the ministry of God, as it relates to the ministry of people of God. So it's clear? Okay? And whatever groups you want to be in. Pardon?
Do you want the clergy and their separate?
Well, probably be separate would be better this time, huh? Does that make sense? I don't know. It seems to me. Maybe you three could meet, okay? Now you have to resist your defensiveness, Dan. You folks want to share what you were, where you are, or what happened, or what?
I think we kind of talked about the first one, what is the ministry of the people of God? Maybe becoming more aware that, you know, the kingdom of God is at hand, and that we're all connected, not only just within the church and the community, but in the world. And with that, you know, mindset, I think we would relate differently to the church and to the people in the church.
Talking about the clergy being the solitary.
Oh yeah, and this, what does, who does what, where, and why? Possibly the ministers being facilitators for starting up different groups. We talked about some of our churches, one of the churches that I was just at. We tried to get
now this is answering the second question rather than the third.
Yeah, this is, well, we thought they were really combined.
Okay.
And after we'd answered one and two, that we'd already answered three. So, but in answering two, who does?
It's curious to me that you started the answer to two with the church. Or with the minister.
Who does? Hmm. Yeah, we thought that, we thought it would be the pastor that could help facilitate starting groups.
And I'm seeing that to me that's curious.
Okay. Yeah.
I just want to be sure I was hearing you right.
Okay, whatever.
Okay.
And we gave some examples at our churches where they try to get the entire congregation involved in disciple groups, or what they call at our church?
Sharing communities.
Caring communities where people were divided up and meet at the homes, and how this has been a real support group for people. She gave an example on this. One couple, the husband came down with cancer and died 4 months later, and now the wife, she's also come down with cancer, but her caring group has become that group, and they take her up for chemo treatments and things like that. That's become her family.
Where do you see what you're suggesting up here? Where does it fit?
More probably towards
the first thing that we thought was that, and that before you go on to, you know, having a group of people maybe challenging, we talked about, you know, challenging another person to be doing something different or be something different or what they thought.
Mm-hmm.
But that first, the main thing, the center of your relationship had to be sharing and making yourself vulnerable and just getting to know that person. And then, and that how he was saying how in his church a lot of things maybe he wanted he didn't find, but that I really saw in my church, and that you need different groups because people are in different places, that some are might going to need that for 2 or 3 years of just until they feel comfortable to maybe move on to do something more global or more in the community, or
they
gotta have a connection with other people.
Okay.
I guess I was sharing what I'd seen in the past in the congregations that I'd gone to, and I attribute a lot of fault to myself too, of resisting this, there's too many things to do, you know, doing things, kind of superficially doing things together, and not really getting down and having some good discussions. Like I resisted men through it for a long time. I went last night, and I enjoyed it. I mean, it was much more than a BS session. I mean, people were vulnerable there, and it's really a positive thing. It seems like people now, especially in such a disconnected society, really very much need that. And if you can't get it at church, where the heck are you going to get it? You're not going to get it at work. Probably the only way you're going to get it maybe is the one along with your counselor. Or something, or that type of situation. That's a totally different situation. You know, patient doctor versus, you know, people just supporting each other. And it seems like just kind of this, a lot of groups like that. I think the other is good too. You know, doing things together. But I think having sessions, having discussions where people can really be open to each other. And that can be breakfast once a week, or it can be getting together in the evening, like. For a men's group, or getting together for dinner once a week, and really getting to know each other so that you can kind of always follow up with people and, you know, what's happened during the past week, has this gotten resolved?
Well,
so I guess ministry to each other.
Something that came to my mind was the change in my relationship with Dan. I know that I did not feel connected to a lot of people, just the difference in maybe being up in his apartment, visiting with them a couple times, or going hiking with them once, and just talking. It's just like, just totally different than my feeling about, I don't even know, about the administrative people at Holden. Or
what does that have to do with this? I have no doubt about your feeling closer to them. I want to know what that has to do with the ministry of the people of God.
Being connected, being...
So the ministry of the people of God is being connected.
Yeah.
Okay. Ministering to each other.
Does it matter?
Ministering to each other. What does that mean? The ministry in that.
I think supporting each other.
So it's really from here over that we do the ministry of the people of God. We get together and support each other.
No, I think the other way is what we would say. Not in the middle of the left, it's the middle of the right.
This isn't just another thing you do at the church. Instead of being on a committee, you get together for a support group. But you still do it over there.
I don't see it
necessarily always in order that
it
goes.
No, I'm not talking about order. I don't know.
I don't see us from the middle of the left is what we said, right?
Okay.
I see what we said from the middle of the left.
Well, you haven't said much yet about anything that happens other than the support group at the church that you got together from the group.
You aren't seeing it.
I don't hear it well.
Okay, support group is one example. I think we were talking about groups getting together not only for support, but for discussing. For discussing things too, like discussing, say, feminism or men's issues, and say how that relates to your faith. Maybe some more than support. I mean, the setting is the same, but maybe one session can be for support, and another session can be, say, for the types of topics we're discussing here, and trying to really get at, trying to really get at how those issues relate to your faith.
So the ministry of the people of God is talking about how those things.
That's in one element.
I'm pushing it. I'm trying to get you to say probably what's there, and I'm not trying to get you to say what I want to say, but I want to be sure that if you're saying that, then you would say it. What's the end result of all of that? You know, because that's what they say. That's all about. You know, that's almost many of the things you said is what they say. If you get them to come there, and you get them to work, and you get them to be on a committee, and you get them to, you know, whatever it may be, then something will happen. Mm-hmm. Do you hear that they might say that? I hear a lot of people saying that. That people will be equipped for the ministry of the people of God if we get them to choir, to Bible study, to worship, to whatever it may be.
And I guess what I'm asking is, what's the difference between what you were saying? And I suspect there is a real difference. I'm not implying there isn't. And what they're saying.
I think these groups that I'm talking about, anyway.
Okay.
It's a whole different premise. Those, you're wanting people to come there so you can show them what to do. And I'm saying these groups are just based on unconditional love and acceptance, that people just get together as themselves and becoming vulnerable and sharing one another. And I think out of that, it expands.
Okay. That's what I'm curious about. Is that, because if the first part, if that's the ministry of the people of God, then it seems to me you may be saying that it is people, Christians, or people of God, talking to one another and being vulnerable with one another and supporting one another. And that's legitimate. Somebody can say that's a definition of it.
It doesn't just have to be Christians.
Well, okay, ignore that. Just people of God, whatever. And I want to know if that's as far as you're going. But when you said something can expand out of that, I don't know, you know, you didn't say much about it.
It's like, well, where else can you start? I mean, you start with yourself, and it expands to the group, and then I think you can start from there to become a more global-oriented type situation.
I don't jump from church to global, by the way. You know, that's not my, it's not my, in other words, I'm not implying that at all, just so you know. Okay. I am not implying that.
I guess I don't know what you're challenging.
I'm challenging that it still seems to me everything you're doing is over here. You've just taken a different thing to do over here. Your thing is support groups, vulnerability. Their thing is evangelism committees and building programs.
One thing we talked about was learning over in number 5 over there is if we are really children of God, then we are like Christ. Christ was the Son of God, or the child of God. And learning from one another what our relationship to Christ is and how we can be more Christ-like. And I think that has, so that's on the right. And that would fit within the group and outside of the group or wherever.
No, I just don't see what we've been saying as those two things it's not left at all.
No, I'm not saying that it is those two things. It seems to me that it is over there. As you see, ministry, you say, it seems to me that so what you've said of ministry so far to me is that it is beefing up the gang at the church. Whoever you, that's where you got it together. Your illustrations were from congregations.
As opposed to the other side, which is, I don't see that sharing, that the other side is, are the two connected, helping others in need. Right, they are focusing on that. And yet, that doesn't connect to sharing with others what Jesus means. Or doing the best in your job. I don't think doing the best in your job is even a possibility. I don't think somebody would say that that's the ministry of the people of God is doing the best in your job. Oh, us personally?
And those two things on the left, those to me, those seem very, very impersonal. Building projects and even evangelism always seems like very, very impersonal. But I thought that what we've been talking about was more personal.
So the ministry of the people of God is being more personal.
Well, I think
getting beyond your masks.
Getting beyond your masks. So the ministry of the people of God is getting beyond your masks. I'm looking for what your underlying, definition is. I'm not in words, but definition,
Getting beyond.
I guess what I'm keeping asking is, are you satisfied with that definition? Sure, very well be. I'm not asking to change it, please.
I haven't been on evangelism committees. You know, I just think, well, that's going on visiting, getting new members, getting to come to church. I want to know, why do we go out and say, go to church? How do we begin that with people who are, neighbors and they're unchurched? Is it because just because I believe in church. Why do I tell them they should come to church with me? Is that what I'm trying to find out here? Is my ministry to them? I mean, I think that's being people of God to be concerned about them. But is that what ministry of church is about? All people in the group? Or is it to get them to church?
Yeah, well, see, it's perfect. Didn't see it.
Sometimes I think that the groups are really important, all the church groups, to learn, like they were talking about, the support groups, to learn to be settled enough as a group and as yourself so that the ministry in your life naturally flows out of it, so that it's easier to take risks because you have somehow learned to like yourself. Within the church, you have a support group of people who says, you're okay. Everything's not perfect, but it's okay. And then you can start taking steps outside of that group with the support from the group. You have that group. And almost any group in the church will work. It's just that most churches stop with that group, and it serves itself. You know, without starting to find out where can we start stretching ourselves. And if you start stretching yourself outside into the community, global, whatever, then the ministry starts appearing to other people, to other groups.
I guess the thing I was pushing at was so that part in what she was saying. And I still suspect it's material that you had in mind, but maybe not. I don't want to be pushing. It seems to me if it is only, gee, it's a tough world out there, let's get back to the church and get beefed up and supported. That seems to me not an awful lot different from what a lot of people today are doing, except they're not doing it intimately. They're doing it structurally. I go to church, I feel good when the music's soft and I like the colors and whatever else, and I feel better, and then I go back out to my job. But if the goal of a support group and discovery of relationship in that is, for me, and now I'm forgetting about this and talking for myself, is to bring about the shalom, to change the systems around me, and to, that can be in my company, that can be in my family, that can be in my whatever. That's why I'm said I didn't jump globally. Then I get more excited about getting together at that church place. Because what I'm afraid of is a lot of support groups that I know don't go beyond that. You know, they really get turned in on themselves, which is very easy to do. As I think classically this stuff is done. A good evangelist would have had a marvelous discussion of this stuff over here. Cool. Rarely does, by my experience. So that's what I was pushing. But we ran past time.
Well, sometimes when we have new people come in, I mean, but we invite them to church, I think chance to come to worship, and they may be very critical because it's, why do you say it's cold when they talk to me? And we say, but you do not go to Sunday morning to judge the church. If you want to find out what the church is about, then you come and see about the rest of it. You know, but Sunday morning, and many people come just for that. I want to come and just worship. I want to hear the gospel and the music. Is that enough? If they don't need any more, do we push that? But when they just come once and say, I'm going around churches and finding out where I want to be, and they moved into the community and say, great, do that. You know, but that's not where we'll find out what our church is about.
I'm sorry, I ran over and I promised myself not to do that, so I have to end our discussion. We'll pick up on Thursday some more, and I'd like to get back to some of the things you were talking about, and then go on to share with you what I think are some insights, some helpful, from Luther on vocation and its more contemporary. Thank you much. 3 years, I think, right?